All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. We're embarking upon the third piece of armor. And I want to say this before we get started, that we will have a prayer team up here afterwards. If you would like prayer for anything, then when the worship songs go in at the end or just after, come on up. And you can pick and choose whoever you want to pray with, and they will pray with you for that request. All right, so let's look at our passage this morning. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having shod your feet. Great. That's the first part. Let me just elaborate a little more on what we read. Therefore, take up means to take with you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to oppose pressure. And I'm telling you, the whole idea of that, that you may be able to withstand is like a pressure cooker. In the original language, doesn't it feel that way sometimes? Don't you feel like that sometimes the temptations come in, those kind of things that necessarily have nothing to do with God at all, and it's like a pressure cooker. There are times when I'll be at my desk and all of a sudden I just jump up and I put on my earphones and I go for a walk. Because I'm not gonna listen to it anymore. I'm not gonna deal with it. So I turn on God's word and I listen to God's word. And I don't know how you fight those things in your own lives, but I'm pretty sure you all have them. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, take up or take with you the armor of God, that you may be able to actively oppose pressure in the evil day. And when it says the evil day, it's talking about morality. A morally corrupt day, and having done all, meaning to successfully, thoroughly perform what God's told you to do, to stand. And it means standing, set, maybe 2 feet into the concrete type step, standing against Satan. I always think about the song, Standing on the Promises of God. Do you remember that one? And I think that comes from here, because that's what the whole idea of standing is, standing on God's promises. Therefore, then, having girded or circled your waist, and it means just literally, and I'm sorry, the genitals, we're protecting those, and it's the very essence of strength in all those cultures back then, with truth, God's truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and last week we talked about Christ's righteousness, right? He had to have faith like we do, and in turn, he gives us his righteousness because we don't have it on our own. In the moment we believe, we receive his righteousness. And then we're to imitate that righteousness, right? Imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says this, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, okay? And then our text for this morning is, having shod, having tied down your feet, and that's where we get the whole concept. Have you ever heard the saying, study at the feet of someone? Okay, that's what we have here. Studying at the feet of Christ and his word, who are more knowledgeable than we are, and ultimately we're able to teach. It has all that concept in there. Preparation, with the preparation means that a condition of a person prepared in readiness. So when he said that we've tied down our feet with the preparation, we're ready to go, is what God's saying with his word of the gospel, of the good news. And it doesn't just mean evangelism. It means the whole good news that we live under, okay? Of peace. Boy, don't you love that? Of peace. When you know God's word, there's a real element of peace. Now, I want you to look at our next little quote here that I pulled. I thought this was really good about peace. a soul assured of their salvation. Do you have that? And they're standing before God. Do you know you're standing before God? Have you memorized Ephesians 1 and 2? Some of those passages where you really, where it just tells you who you are as a child of God. And then fearing nothing from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind or self-control. And content with their earthly lot. Whatever state I'm in, therein to be content. That's peace, isn't it? I love that quote. It was great. Is that how you feel? Now, before I go on, I want to just stop and talk to you for a second. When I was putting together this sermon, I began to realize that as I preach it, you're going to feel guilt, okay? And I want to stop. Throughout our society, and I think our society actually is particular, even more so than other societies, we are a shame-based society, and it's very easy to be shamed, right? Now, have any of you felt shame so far? Okay, all right, I'm just kidding. Of course you have. The problem is we live in it, and it's easy to be shamed, and I'm going to talk about knowing God's Word, and some of you are going to be sitting there thinking, man, I don't know anything about God's Word, and I feel such shame, and then pretty soon you're thinking in your mind, well, who are you to be telling me that? You know, the reactionary from shame. And so, listen, today I want to talk about conviction, okay? Shame is the emotion that we can feel when we aren't doing what we think we're supposed to do or be, right? And guilt or conviction, I like the word conviction better because guilt holds too much, you know, guilty of sin and that kind of thing. Conviction to do something is the action that we can take against that shame, okay? So as I preach this morning, I am not trying to shame anybody. If you are not doing at all what God's Word is saying and the verses I'm bringing, you know what? You're okay, right? We're enough, aren't we? In Christ, aren't we? Do I get an amen on that? Or you can just go sit there in shame? No, we're enough. God made us. You know, I mean, just stop to think about it for a minute. God created us so we didn't have gifts, and we have gifts, so that we had to work together as a body of Christ. And we get stupid enough to think everybody's supposed to be everything, right? And then we get all goofed up and think, well, they don't do this, or, you know, the pastor doesn't do this, or, you know, Sunday school teacher doesn't do this. And it's like, well, you give it up. We're all incomplete in those sense. And yet the Bible says we are complete in Christ. All right? So this morning isn't about shame. This morning is about conviction. Okay? All right. So I think, as I was saying before, we have incredible peace if we know God's Word. And the benefits, besides peace, is when we have deeply learned God's Word, it is what Peter says, and I love this, in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Do you hear that this morning? That we have an answer to give people of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. In other words, with humility. The NIV puts it this way. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I memorized, that was one of the first scriptures that I memorized when I had a pastor that was very, man, he just really knew the Word of God. He even had a Wednesday night where you quote a verse and he'd tell you where it was, Old Testament or New. And that was one of the first things he said, Steve, you always have to have an answer of the hope that lies within you, which is the King James, that's the one I know, okay? And so we're to be prepared in readiness with God's good news, His Word, and know the answers to questions for people. So let me kind of give you a scenario. What if someone comes to me and says, well, Steve, does God really truly love me? And I stop and I go, well, I'm not sure. Okay, what do you think of my answer? Yeah, not very good. In fact, you're paying me to know the answers, right? Yeah. What if I told them that? And I said, you know, I just don't really know my Bible. I'll get up and preach, and I just, you know, I try to do the best I can, but I don't really know the answers. You know what? I think you would say, well, you're the pastor. You should know the scripture. Well, you should too, right? You should too. And what do you think the answer should be? Well, I thought of a few. But God, who is rich in mercy, with the great love in which he loved us. Isn't that a good enough verse? I mean, right off the bat, with the great love in which he loved. For God so loved the world. Yeah, pretty easy. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. John 1, 1 John 1, 3. Or, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And I love this other one. We love him because he first loved us. Yeah. How do we know those scriptures? Because we start reading and we start letting it stick to our Bible. You know, I have not necessarily had a, in the early years, I started a memory program and I was trying to memorize verse. Now it memorizes me. I'll see it and it has such impact on me. I don't forget it. It's just, it's crazy. I praise the Lord for that, because memory things, you always end up failing on them and those kind of things. And that's all right. That's human, okay? Having tied down your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Every time I think about that, I think about Romans 10, 14, and 15. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. I have to take off my shoes right now. Right? And you too. Take a look at our feet. Are they beautiful? Are we walking in the scripture? Are we helping people? But you know, the second thing about this is it's a very huge personal thing. And that is, it is one of the greatest defense against the darts, right? If you know the scripture and you know the gospel, you can identify the darts flying towards you, right? If you don't, you don't know. It kind of comes clear as that. And you know without a doubt, and when that dart and arrow comes during that time when you're weak and it's the evil day in your life. Do you have evil days in your life? There's some days where you're kind of strong and there's other days when you're not. And boy, Satan seems to always know when you're weak, even before you do, right? Because all of a sudden, pew, it starts coming. And so we can stand sure-footed in the heat of our own personal battle. But we have to have his truth in our heart as the basis, and we must embrace the truth, get to know the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, tell ourselves the truth, right? I think that's one of the biggest important things, is we tell ourselves the truth, because it's easy for us to lie to us, isn't it? And get things perverted in our life. The moral lies. I know God says that, but you know I would feel totally complete if I did this. Or we get to the place, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm not righteous. I don't think God loves me as much as he loves other people. I don't, I've done too many things in my life, and I'm not worthy in God's eyes. Is that truth? No, that's telling ourselves a lie. We are worthy. We are enough in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, okay? We're acceptable. Those are lies, 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 lies. And we say many more of them to ourselves. I'm always astounded at how much people quote scripture that isn't scripture and thinks it's real, like, you know, I think God said that he wants us to be happy. I've never read that. I'm sorry. I've never read it. I'd like it to be in there, wouldn't you? Wants us to be joyful. Yeah. So instead, we have to take those lies and turn them into the truth. And that is that the moment we believe we were chosen in Him, is that true? Yeah. And we're acceptable. We're acceptable as we are, as we sit, as we stand, the way we are, period. Right? Do you believe that? Or do we need to add some stuff? Oh, yeah, you need to read your Bible more. You need to... No, we're acceptable. We're forgiven. Aren't we forgiven? We're saved. The Holy Spirit seals us in Ephesians 1:13 with His Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Who is what? The guarantee. Boy, wouldn't you like to know that by heart? We're His child. And you know, I believe this with all my heart now, and I don't know where you on this. I am at total peace with God. Total peace with God. I'm not peace with the world at times, you know what I'm saying? But I'm at peace with God. I don't ever reflect and think, gee, wonder if God, I know who He loves me. I know who I am because He told me. I didn't tell me, He told me. So looking at the armor day after day, Paul looks and here's the thing, he was bound with two soldiers, right? Shackled. And he's dictating these scriptures that were in two people and sending them off. This one went to Ephesus in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. And he's looking at their big bullet arrow-proof vest, this big brass the helmet, and then he looks down and he sees the feet, and they have these shin guards that go all the way down, and then they wear sandals. And you know, I look at this and I think, what if they weren't protected by in their feet? What would that be like? You know, for instance, when they have women's defense, you know, in case of some perpetrator gets on, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Stomp their feet. That's right. Right? Oh, man, that hurts. You know? And the problem is, that's what happens to us. We're not in the Word, and we're not doing that, and an arrow comes in, and man, right on that foot, because we're not prepared with the gospel. Now, do you see why I did my preamble on shame? Okay, just wanted to make sure. All right, okay. How easy it is to be immobilized. And I look at Paul while he's there, and I'm thinking he knows he has the peace. He knows he's there because of Christ. And we think, well, yeah, Christ talked to him directly. Well, He's talked to us directly too. He really has through His Word. And we need to know that gospel of peace to be able to know it, to find it in our Bible, to recite it. You know, I really love this part. Years ago, I read a biography on John Wesley. Now, John Wesley was the man that started the whole Methodist movement, okay? If you see a Methodist church, it's because this guy up here, okay? And he was searching for peace in his life. And for years, he searched. And he sailed from England to the colonies here and sat under different people's preaching, preached himself, and he couldn't find any peace here, so he sailed back to England. And one day, being totally weary, he and Charles, his brother, both, they were just so discouraged because they couldn't find peace in the Bible. Wesley confessed this lack of peace to a German Moravian preacher named Bohler, and asked him, I don't know, what should I even preach? I don't have peace. And Bohler told him, preach faith, brother, until you have it. Then because you have it, you can preach faith. And, you know, which is actually pretty good advice. And so Wesley went around England preaching faith to his listeners, but he still didn't quite have that because he just didn't know the Word of God. That's what it came down to. He didn't know the Word of God well enough. And so in his most discouraging time, the book said, well, he was physically sick from it, and he could barely get out of bed. And someone read Martin Luther's introduction to the Romans commentary he wrote about the free gift of salvation, and instantly his heart was changed. Instantly all the scriptures came together. And he was transformed, and he began to be a great preacher because he began to tell people how to come to Christ and then how to know who you are in Christ, so much so that he created a whole denomination that we have all over the world. John Wesley had the gospel in his hand, but he didn't get it until he found that peace in his life. And we have the gospel in our hand, and we have that peace. You know, the thing is this morning is you only have to be here at this church once to find the peace it took him 20 years to find. 20 years of preaching and studying to find. And we're so blessed that we have that, and we have the printing press, and we have our own Bibles, and we're able to read, able to listen, able to learn, and even teach. And we look at, like 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Because when we don't study the Word and we don't know it, there is that sense of shame, isn't it? The sense of, oh man, I don't have the answer. Now, if you haven't received that free gift, I'll be talking about that a little bit later here. But you, Christian, have you shod, have you tied down your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? And if you haven't, we have all kinds of Bible studies. Just open up your bulletin and look and begin to learn. Decide, I'm going to learn. And it's more than just hearing the good news, it's the whole gospel message. And the whole gospel message for us is incredible. Incredible. Are we under law or are we under grace? Grace. We're under grace, so we don't have to memorize the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. Paul tells us very easily. And you know what? If you get out your little Bible and get my version on it, you know which one I'm talking about, and you get the Audible, if you wanted to do this, take a whole day. You could go all the way through the New Testament on it. It's just incredible how fast you can hear that stuff. But you, Christian, have to be tied down to knowing the gospel of peace. There is a Bible in the back window of your car, or it's on a shelf, or it's on your phone. Oh, there you go. And some of you are following with your Bible today as we go. And that will prepare you for the darts and schemes of the devil. And I want you to think about this. In your worst evil day, what do you do when the dart flies? Huh? And it does do that. You didn't expect that, did you? Well, do you ever expect it? No. Listen, it's learning and learning and reading and reading and increasing your faith, increasing your knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, that's where your faith comes from. So if you haven't really discovered reading your Bible yet, try. Don't do it in shame. Don't do it because I shamed you up here this morning, because I'm not. I'm standing here saying that, and I'm lucky because of Pastor, I've got to be in the Word every day, right? Okay? And so it's really great. And you always, you know, I hear people all the time saying, well, I don't know, you have some kind of special gift because you're a pastor. You don't have you feel the same things as we do. Oh, no. It's just that I get the privilege of being in the Word more. I still get those darts. They still fly at me like they fly at you. And you know, here's the thing, is the lack of reading the Word, the lack of understanding the Word, not being prepared in God's words means the darts are going to fly and they're going to hit their intended target. Schemes that work on you, and you know you're vulnerable and weak in those areas, week after week, you're being foiled by the evil one, and defeated by the enemy. So in literal language, let me ask you this question. Are you reading your Bible? Are you listening to your Bible? Are you listening to some of the preachers help you understand that Bible? Are you memorizing? Are you memorizing in the places you need, because the dart keeps coming to the same place all the time? Do you know that dart that I'm talking about in your life? It keeps coming back and coming back. Why don't you memorize the scripture that fights that? So let's be honest. You may be sitting in your chair with that fake smile, dying inside, wanting so badly to have a relationship with God, just like Wesley was looking for, except you know you're not making the effort. And that's okay, right? Because it could be changed today. Satan is shooting those darts as fast as he can shoot them, because he already knows God's captured you and you're his. But it's not about the future. It's not about going to heaven. It's now. It's the darts. Don't you love that? $6.35 on the internet. Okay, there we go. Listen, don't lie down. Don't let the darts come. Boom, 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 boom. That's a miserable, miserable place to be, isn't it? It's miserable, and every time you think to myself, well, I'm going to start reading my Bible, I want to be closer to God, I just don't feel kind of close. Stop it. Quit shaming yourself. Quit guilting yourself. Just take the conviction and decide, you know what, I'm going to start reading. And not only am I going to read, I'm going to read the specific places and read them over and over and over and over where those darts are flying, so that I will be prepared with the gospel of the peace of God. Father, we come this morning. Lord, I pray that people won't respond out of guilt and shame, but they will respond out of conviction. Lord, help us to understand, help us to be able to talk to people who do know a little more about the Bible, so that we can ask, okay, I've got this problem, can you help me? What verses do I need? And then memorize those verses and meditate on them and pin them on our dashboard or whatever we have to do to really understand those. Because, Lord, you said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Help us not to be ignorant of those devices. Help us to soak in your word and have relationship with you. You maybe come this morning and you don't even have that relationship with God. Let me talk to you for just a second. The rest of you can pray. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, I'm going to pray a prayer, and this morning, if you don't have that relationship and you want that relationship, and maybe you even need to renew a relationship because you've kind of struggled and walked far away, you can pray that, just reminding yourself of who you are. The prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you've been in business. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Father, we are so thrilled to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that all of us will be able to be prepared with the gospel of peace, that we can live in peace with you and not suffer all those struggles, all the things that are going on because we don't know the word of God. Lord, help us to have that thirst. I can't imagine, Lord, what it'd be like if all of us were reading the Word and understanding our weaknesses and strengths and being able to be prepared with that gospel of peace, what it would be like to fellowship in a group like that. Man, I think we'd probably go to crying and get on our knees and thanking you that you protect us so with that armor. So, Lord, we give Christ the praise this morning and honor, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.